It's Draymond Green, kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, good afternoon. Man, I'm interested in your feelings after this one. I know we talk about them after every single game. I'm not going to lie. Sometimes I'm not all that interested to find out where you are after any given loss or victory. But this one, this 5-4 series-deciding loss at Fenway Park, yeah, I'm really interested to see where Royals fans are after this one. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals lose the finale. They drop the series. Again, Boston 5, Royals 4. Yeah, I'm looking for you to set the tone today because I feel like I'm in the minority today. I have to feel, right? Because I'm bummed out. This one, man. Now, this isn't a game that I think I'm going to remember for quite some time. This doesn't have a sting to it. I don't feel as if the Royals shot themselves in the foot. It wasn't bad defense or bad base running that is the reason why you lost. No. No, this isn't one that if the Royals finish a game out of the postseason that I'll go back to and say, yeah, remember that finale in Boston? No, this isn't a game like that. So, this one to me doesn't hurt, but it does have me bummed out. Bummed out for a number of reasons. So that's why I want to hear from you. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. It has me bummed out, but I have to imagine you're sky high right now. Yes, I'm sure you're disappointed after the loss. But the Royals made the move, right? After I signed off yesterday, the Royals make a trade. They acquire the reliever that so many of you have been waiting for. So you got that last night. The Royals still wrap up an 8-game road trip with a 500 record. There's nothing to be disappointed about in a 500 road trip. The Royals have 52 wins at the All-Star break, matching the 2015 team. Second most wins this franchise has posted prior to the Midsummer Classic in history. Second most. You have the Home Run Derby tomorrow, the draft coming up later tonight. Speaking of the draft, we got more than 2 hours. We have more than 2 hours until the draft starts up, so let's talk about it. Let's talk about this first half. Let's talk about this game. We can preview the second half. We can preview the All-Star break. There's so much to discuss, and a majority of it is positive. But I can't lie to you. Yeah, I really wanted this one today. Just personally, I wanted this one. You know, losing this game, does it change anything for the team in the grand scheme of things? No, they're still right in the thick of it. They're still right where many of us had hoped and wished and prayed that they would be at the All-Star break in a chase for a postseason spot, no doubt about it. But yeah, personally, I wanted this one because if the Royals win this one, I mean, it's a dream for the next 4 days. It is a celebration of Kansas City baseball for the next 4 days that this team would go into the All-Star break in possession of a postseason spot. With Bobby and Salvi and Lugo and Reagans and these guys all about to have their moment in the Texas sun. Bobby in the Home Run Derby, I'm expecting him to win that thing. The love that Bobby's going to get. Yeah, I wanted this win. I wanted that team to go into the All-Star break in possession of a postseason spot. No doubt about it. Now, certainly my spirits are buoyed by the fact that even with a loss today, guys like Bobby and MJ, guys like Vinny, Michael, Reagans, Brady, MacArthur, Bubich, all of these Royals that are playing in the biggest games of their lives every time they take the field. Right, to be in a playoff race this deep into the season, there's no doubt about it. It's the biggest game of Bobby's career, Brady's career, Vinny, MacArthur. It's the biggest game they've ever performed in at the biggest of stages, right? In the show, they've never appeared in a bigger game. So the fact that this front office, this ownership, sent a message to that clubhouse that we believe in you. We believe in you this year. We believe in you next year. Here's some reinforcement going into the All-Star break. So I'm sure they're disappointed. I'm disappointed that they didn't win this game, but I am certainly encouraged that I don't believe that their psyche is going to be shook by this series loss in Boston. In fact, I think those young Royals still should have their chests sticking out because their owner, their front office, just told them, go get them, boys. We think you have what it takes, so much so, we're willing to part with a draft pick and a third base prospect that is ranked as our second best prospect in the system. We believe in you boys, go get them in the second half. So we could talk about the second half, we could talk about this series, we can talk about the numerous moments in this game that swung it. The momentum from Boston to Kansas City, back to Boston, back to KC. So much to discuss. Let's get to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to start off out in Topeka. Nate, you're hitting leadoff this afternoon. Go ahead. We lost Nate. All right, let's go to Rick in Olathe. Rick, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Vern. Rick from Olathe. Starting off, as always, you do a fabulous job. You lay it out the way it is. I agree with everything you said about the enthusiasm in Kansas City. It was a long, long year last year. We've almost won as many games so far as we won the whole year. So you can't be kind of crying in your milk too much about this. I agree with you. I think we kind of gave one away today. I understand what Q said about the base running, but I don't know how in the ninth inning when you've got the opportunity to get it tied back up that you ever try that when a ball's hit to left center. I don't know. That guy is okay, but he really isn't a real Major League Baseball player as far as I'm concerned. But it's just I'm thrilled. I'm kind of disappointed that we have the delay other than seeing all our boys in the All-Star game because when we come back out on this series, I think we have a 9 or 10 game homestand. We got some teams that we really do have to beat up on, and I think that they will. I hope they're rested and get ready to rock and roll and get us into the playoffs.
Appreciate the phone call, Rick. Yeah, four-day stretch without Royals baseball is nothing that I'm looking forward to, and you're 100% right. 9 of the 12 games after the All-Star break, 9 of the first 12 games after the break are against last-place teams. It's a 9-game homestand right out of the All-Star break, starting up on Friday, White Sox, Diamondbacks, Cubs. Yeah, you got to go, what, 6-3? Three series victories, however you want to do it. Give me a 6-3 homestand. I'm with you. Yeah, did the Royals give this game away? I don't know if I said that. I don't feel that way, Rick. Honestly, I don't. Now, to me, I thought this was a very fun game, to be quite honest with you, especially when you see Brady Singer give up 2 runs in the first, 2 runs in the second. I was not expecting a fun game. But the bullpen, the defense, and yes, even the base running allowed it to be a fun game, allowed it to be a 1-run game. So the Royals just chipped away. Now, what Rick is talking about was in the ninth inning with the Royals, again, down 5-3 heading into that ninth inning. Second inning of work for future Hall of Famer Kenley Jansen. Now with Dairon Blanco on second base and Garrett Hampson on first, there's one out with Freddie Fermin at the dish. Fermin takes an 0-2 offering and lasers it to left center field. Dairon Blanco comes around to score easily to make it 5-4 Boston. Garrett Hampson on that double to left center, on that single off of the bat of Freddie Fermin, on that line drive single to left center field, the play is happening in front of Garrett Hampson as he approaches second base and turns and makes the move to go to third. He can see the play unfolding before him out there in center field. I liked it. I like him. Not even dropping it into gear. I like the aggressive base running from Garrett Hampson. He was thinking first to third the entire time. So was I. Force the Red Sox center fielder to make a perfect throw. Make him. I don't believe you can. I believe my center fielder will. I believe Kyle Isbell or Hunter Renfro in right, I believe they'll make the perfect throw, but I don't believe you will. Right. The Royals defense, base running, and starting pitching, that's, in my opinion, a large reason why this team sits 52-45 heading into the All-Star break. No, base running is why you scored the second run. The hustle of MJ Melendez there in the fourth. So I liked it. I liked Hampson going to third. He got thrown out. A great throw by the center fielder. Great tag by Devers. No, I'm all for that. I mean, that's one of the main reasons. That's one of the main things that Garrett Hampson brings to this big league clubhouse, this big league ball club, is speed and defensive versatility. No, I had no issue with it whatsoever. 913-586-7610. You let me know if you disagree. Furthermore, you know, let's say that Hampson holds up at second base. Freddie's on first and second with one out. Nick Lofton at the dish going up against right-hander Kenley Jansen. With Michael Garcia standing on deck again to face right-hander Kenley Jansen. Could Lofton have come through? Yeah, certainly, no doubt. Yeah, Garcia could have come through as well. I think the best odds of scoring that fifth run, I think it's more likely that Garrett Hampson goes first to third and that center fielder doesn't make a great throw. I think the odds are higher that that happens than Nick Lofton or Michael Garcia driving home Garrett Hampson from second base, coming through with that base knock. Again, I understand. Garrett Hampson reached base on a walk, right? Freddie Fermin just laced a single to center field. Yeah. To me, Kenley Jansen was still pitching very well. You know, Hunter Renfro reaches on a hard hit infield single, then a walk to Garrett Hampson, Fermin with the liner to center field. Now, we could disagree. Doesn't mean that I'm right, but I think if you do this 100 times, I think the Royals score that fifth run more times via Garrett Hampson going first to third on Freddie's RBI single than they do by Nick Lofton or Michael Garcia coming through with the game-winning knockoff of Kenley Jansen. If you disagree, let me know. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Let's go to Josiah in Joplin. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Vern, completely agree with everything you've been saying. I 100% want to see Hampson go first to third, try to push the issue with the center fielder's throw. Say, crappy way to, you know, end that inning, but I like how they pushed it. And another comment I wanted to make was really excited to see what Hunter Harvey's got in store for us. Referencing back to your interview with Sherman, I know he said he wasn't going to leverage the franchise, but, I mean, he gave up Caden Wallace in 39 pick. I know he's got a big arm, but I'm excited to see what he brings us this second half.
Oh, I'm with you 100% on that one, Josiah. I'm glad you brought it up. Yeah, if you haven't heard all about Hunter Harvey, the big fastball, great chase, the kind of velocity that this bullpen just doesn't have. Leads Major League Baseball in holds. I don't think he's given the closer's role. But if James MacArthur struggles, that could be something that Harvey finds himself in down the stretch. And now when you look at that bullpen, as Nick Anderson has exited stage left and been replaced by Hunter Harvey, you certainly feel better about the bullpen, certainly feel better that it has the ability to be middle of the road. Right, instead of the bottom third of Major League Baseball, with the addition of that high velocity, better than league average chase percentage from Hunter Harvey, you know, with that type of stuff now added to this bullpen, you feel as if, much like this offense, they're good enough. They're not dragging you down like maybe they once were. Right, I think we feel that way about the offense, especially now with the solid month plus from Kyle Isbell, the solid 2 months from Hunter Renfro. Disappointing news with MJ Melendez. Now, thankfully, it's going into the All-Star break, but a left ankle sprain could slow down MJ's second half. It's disappointing. MJ had an OPS north of 850 over the past month. Now, here's what I want to say real quick about the trade that was made. My biggest takeaway from the acquisition of Harvey is, well, like I mentioned, the thing that excites me most is the message that it sends to Bobby, to Vinny, to Cole Reagans, to Brady Singer, guys that are going through their first playoff run ever. Now, certainly they're helped by Salvi and Renfro and Will Smith and Chris Stratton and their experiences, and yeah, no doubt. But I'm talking about sitting in your clubhouse, having a good time, getting ready for the game, and then all of a sudden, Hunter Harvey walks in Friday. Right? When the Royals get ready to take on the White Sox Friday at Kauffman Stadium, there's going to be a moment where the guys are hanging out in the clubhouse, and then all of a sudden, that monster walks in. And that's going to serve as a reminder of, oh yeah, we're in this thing. And they believe in us. You know, the billionaire owner, the big money general manager, the guys that are really in charge, that are really pushing the buttons, they believe in us. Yes, it's the first time we've gone through this, but we've proven enough to our bosses that they're willing to eat some money in DFAing Nick Anderson. They're bringing on payroll with a guy that went through arbitration, is going to make even more next year through arbitration in Hunter Harvey. So that's the thing that excites me most is the message that it sends to that clubhouse. But big picture, my biggest takeaway is the Royals must not think Caden Wallace is the third baseman of the future. Now, as far as the trading away the compensatory pick or the 39th overall selection tonight in the draft, I'm not too concerned about that, to be quite honest with you. Those are the only draft picks you can trade. And if you can move it to help your big league ball club, man, now, what's the likelihood that you get someone at pick number 39 that's going to be able to help you this year or next year? Very unlikely. You know, the draft isn't something that's often 40 players deep with can't-miss talent. It's 10, it's 15. You start getting down to number 39, number 45, stuff like that. The Royals have pick number 41. So whoever they liked at 39, they can still get them at 41. I'm not worried about the draft pick. But the Caden Wallace move, again, this is a guy that MLB.com ranked as the second best prospect. He's a second round pick of the team just a couple of years ago. By moving him, and again, I'm a guy that has said consistently, do not get into a bidding war. You're not desperate as a franchise. There's no reason to get into a bidding war. Right? So by moving Caden Wallace, you're telling me that you don't believe he's a difference maker in the big leagues. He might make it to the big leagues, but he's not a difference maker. He's not our third baseman of the future. Because if you thought that, you don't move him for a year and a half of a reliever. Because for as good as Hunter Harvey's been over the past few seasons, relief pitching is quite volatile. Just because you're good one year doesn't mean you're going to be good again the next year. So if you're moving a guy that you believe can be a difference maker at the big league level, the only way that that's okay is if Hunter Harvey's a monster. Now again, that's if Caden Wallace is a difference maker at the big league level. The guy's never been a difference maker at the double-A level. So no reason to think that the 22-year-old's going to get it done at the big league level, or at least that's what the organization is telling you. Now, I'm a fan of the move because this organization has earned that belief from me. Right? This front office and this pitching department have earned your trust. Cole Reagans, James MacArthur, John Schreiber, Sam Long, new pitches for Brady Singer, helping out Alec Marsh, new pitches for Michael Wacha. The moves, the acquisitions, the trades, the fines by this pitching department, by this front office, if they identify something in Hunter Harvey that they believe they can make even better than what he's already been doing, I think it's going to be a terrific move. I think he's going to be a stud in this bullpen. A stud this year and a stud next year. But the biggest takeaway is, for me, is the Royals are telling you that we don't believe Caden Wallace is or ever was the third baseman of the future. Because if he turns out to be a difference maker at the big league level, this trade's going to be panned years from now. Unless Harvey turns out to be a monster, which he very well might be. Appreciate the phone call. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Royals drop the finale in Boston, 5-4, the final score. Let's go to Andy in Midtown. Andy, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call, man. I just want to voice this amongst all Royals fans listening, because a lot of us listen to this postgame show after either Royals victory or loss. But listen, we should not be hanging our heads right now. This team has been killing it so far, like leaps and bounds better from last year. We must have all the hope in the world. I think that, like, in this next half, we're going to see huge strides from everybody. And we're just going to keep getting better and better from here. I'm really excited to see what the front office does in terms of trades, in terms of other kind of like moves that they're going to do. But let's keep chugging along and hoping for the best, and let's get into the postseason. Thanks for taking my call, Vern.
Appreciate it. The Royals, according to Elias, 52 wins are the most by any team before the All-Star break following a 100-loss season. Yeah, there's no reason to hang your head, and I hope it doesn't come across like I'm hanging my head. Again, I'm bummed by this game, but I'm not hurt. It doesn't sting. There's no pain. It's not like that one Twins loss or that Dodgers loss. I think there was a Marlins loss in there. Yeah, there have been four or five this year where I'm like, boy, if they fall just short come the end of September, I'm going to remember that game. That's not what this was today. This was, for what, the seventh time all year, your starting pitcher didn't really give you a chance to win? Now, base running had its strong moments, had its not-so-strong moments. I'm not talking about Garrett Hampson. I'm talking about Hunter Renfro's slide, getting thrown out at second base in the second inning. Thumbs down on that. The opportunity that the Royals had offensively in the seventh inning, it's 4-3 Boston at this spot. Freddie Fermin's on second base with one out. Nick Lofton is ahead in the count, 3-0. Ends up popping out to the shortstop. Still man in scoring position for Michael Garcia with his team down one. He is ahead in the count, 3-0. And he ends up striking out, swinging through a curveball. That opportunity there in the seventh, Will Smith gives a run back. The lead expands to 2 as he walks Rafi Devers to open up that 7th inning. Oh, man, a leadoff walk from your veteran reliever. That's painful. So just a lot of little things today where it was just always right, just out of reach for the Royals today. When if you would have flipped the game on in the bottom of the 2nd inning with Dom Smith's 431-foot home run off of Brady Singer to make it 4-1 Boston, you're thinking, all right, it's going to be a quick afternoon for me. This game's over. But the Royals, no, they battled. They stayed in it. Angel Zerpa, Sam Long, John Schreiber, they extended this game, kept Boston right there at 4 runs. At 4-3 after 6, Royals go on to lose 5-4. Let's go back to the phone calls. And Terry in Olathe. Terry, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing? I appreciate you taking my call. I just want to let you know, I am disappointed in this game due to the fact to where catch-up baseball, if you're down that many runs in the early, yeah, the Royals can get some catch-up baseball, but there's only so much, you know, strength that you could do this. And then I'm also a little disappointed due you have one out at top of the 9th, and I am not a big fan of stretching that to 3rd. I like the idea to a point, but if you're still playing catch-up baseball, I take the chance to stop at 2nd. And then I'm going to count on my hitter coming up, or, you know, I'm going to have 2 chances to get that guy from 2nd around 3rd instead of 0 chances due to the fact that he will try and stretch it out. I'm not cool with that call. You know, Royals do have a great record of catch, you know, of 9th inning wins, but there's only so many that you could get. And you're playing Boston with a similar record. He's throwing a great game. Everything's working their way. Royals are catching up. But then again, I'm going to be conservative on the runner. I know they went with, you know, they went with it. It would have been great if you would have made it. Perfect throw, 50-50% chance to get that throw there. I'm still stopping at 2nd. That's how I feel.
I got you. Appreciate the phone call, Terry. Again, personally, I think this team's base running is better than their offense. I want the base running to make a play. Garrett Hampson tried to, and again, a perfect throw was made, perfect tag was placed, and he's out. Out number 2 there in the 9th inning. You talk about you know, how many more times can this team come from behind? I don't really understand what you're trying to peg as the issue, because the reason why this team is 7 games above 500 is outstanding starting pitching. You know, the starting pitching has, I mean, the Royals are one of only 2 teams in the sport that have 3 of the top 20 ERAs in the sport. Brady Singer, Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, all top 20 in baseball. Only the Royals and Phillies have 3 of the top 20 pitchers. Throw in Michael Wacha, throw in Alec Marsh. You know, you talk about the come from behind. How many more times can they do it? It's the offense's fault, in my opinion, that they fall behind. Your rotation has been sensational. The offense oftentimes doesn't really pick it up until that 3rd time through. But if you want to rely on the offense, you want to rely on Nick Lofton's bat, Michael Garcia's ice-cold bat, you go for it, man. I like the aggressiveness, and I want Garrett Hampson trying to take that extra 90 feet every single time. You know, Royals aren't a slugging ball club. Royals aren't a great offense. They do have elite team speed, an elite rotation, and one of the best defenses in the game. That's where you need to make your hay. That's where you need to win in the margins. You had an opportunity and Garrett Hampson couldn't get it done. Tip your cap to the opposition. That's what I'm doing. 5-4, Boston takes the finale. They take the series. And we take a trip to Bonner Springs to talk with Logan. You're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead, Logan.
Hey, Vern. I've never called here before, but I thought I'd put in some positivity after a couple of losses. I'm a very, very casual baseball fan. I'm more of a football fan. I watched during the World Series run a little bit. But this year, with Bobby Witt, you know, I kind of paid more attention. I've been listening to pretty much every single game. I'm out, you know, grilling and listening to the game. I don't want to buy to watch the TV, but I'll listen to the games, and it's got me interested. So nice. If Royals fans are down, you know, you got people like me who haven't really cared about baseball in a long, long time. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Well, that's nice to hear. Appreciate it. Bobby today went 1-for-4 with a single to center field. Bobby's batting average as he hits the All-Star break, still one of the best in the sport. Bobby hitting .323 through 97 games this season. Yeah, Bobby's played in every single game so far in 2024. That .323 batting average, good for third best right now in the sport. Second only or third only to Stephen Kwan and Christian Yelich of the Brewers. 913-586-7610. Let's go back to Midtown. Talk with Scotty. You're on the postgame show on 610 Sports Radio. Scotty,
hey,
what's
Vern,
going on,
how
buddy?
How you doing, man?
I'm great.
Always
I'm
a
great.
Pleasure listening to you. You're one of the smartest baseball people I've ever heard.
Wow, that's,
just
that's
a couple quick
nice.
Things. A, I'm with you. I like the aggressiveness because I'm not trusting Nick Lofton or Mikhail the way they're hitting to get it done.
Off of Jansen, right,
stuck
yeah.
In seconds. Yeah. The other one is, I like the fight. They always keep coming back, but I'm with you, too. The offense has got to get clicking before the third time in the rotation. Our rotation, 1-5, I think, is solid. The other thing I wanted to call about is you were talking about the draft. I've been looking online, and it keeps, you know, it's all fluid, but they keep talking about this kid from Arkansas that's a left-handed pitcher. His fastball sits at like 94, 97. Sometimes
Hagen
touches 100. He's got this weird delivery that they can't pick up. And he averaged like 17 strikeouts per 9 innings. I was just kind of seeing what you think of him and know about him. I mean, he seems to be kind of rising, and I've heard nothing but good things about him. Once again, go Royals, and I'll get off the air, man.
Yeah, appreciate the phone call. Listen, first of all, let me preface all of this with I'm not a draft expert. I'm reading what the experts say and then going to regurgitate that. So this isn't coming from my eye. I mean, I've watched video on these guys, not a lot. It's just an opinion. You're talking about Hagen Smith, 6'3", 225, big fastball, great slider. I mentioned him earlier today on the On Deck Show. He threw 7 no-hitters in high school. In 1 year, just his senior year, he threw 7 no-hitters. But whatever, who knows? Well, it was in Texas. I mean, Texas, everything is good, and especially baseball, so that's impressive. Yeah, I've watched him a little bit. You know, he's kind of, you know, he's a lefty again, so that right foot, that landing foot, he kind of like stomps it almost. There's a part of me that when I watch him, I'm wondering, is that someone that's destined to be a reliever, like an A.J. Puck, an Andrew Miller. So he's, maybe not that big, but he's a big dude. But then you start watching and you're like, okay, well, could that be like a Garrett Crochet type? Well, possibly. A college pitcher? Hey, you know, the name that I like, and I think he's mocked to go lower than the Royals at 6, so I guess this would be a reach, so I'm guessing people would be unhappy if the Royals selected this kid, but he's a high school shortstop, Connor Griffin, out of the state of Mississippi. That's the kid that I like. I'm just impressed by the athleticism. I think that could be the choice, but again, I'm not one. Same with the trades. I'm not one to have a hot take right away. It's just silly. I've been doing this too long. And I know a lot of you won't remember if I do come out with a hot take, so I can, and it probably would be better for my career if I gave you some more hot takes, but no, it's going to take time. It needs perspective. You know, speaking of a lefty, a former first-round pick, Frank Mazzucato, he was on the Hill today. He was the 7th pick for the Royals back in 2021. He turned 21 just a month ago. Today, he spun his second quality start of the season. 6 innings, 1 run on 2 hits. Mazzucato's now 14 starts into his season up there in the Quad Cities, pitching for the High A team. His ERA is 2.88. It's top five in the Midwest League. So Frank Mazzucato still so very young. I mean, he's younger than the guy we're talking about right now, Hagen Smith. I think he's, almost the same age. Other names that I've seen linked to the Royals. Another high school shortstop, Bryce Rayner. He's a big old left-handed swinging shortstop, 6'3". They're likening him to Corey Seager. Florida two-way player, Jack Caglione. I've seen some compare him to Matt Olson. I'd be surprised if he's there at 6, but those are the names. Yeah, Hagen Smith, Jack Caglione, Bryce Rayner, and then my guy Connor Griffin out of Mississippi. The draft's coming up tonight, 6 o'clock. Royals with two of the top 40 picks, three of the top 75 picks. Tonight, they have pick number 6 and pick number 41. My game notes following another Royals loss in Boston, back-to-back L's in Beantown, 5-4. The final score, my game notes are brought to you by Jay's South Lanteau. Be in the know when called Jay's South Lanteau. Again, so much to talk about, the draft, the second half, this 5-4 loss, all of the turning points in this 5-4 loss. We can look back at the first half. We can talk about the acquisition of Hunter Harvey, the home run derby, the All-Star game. Man, for a loss, you guys are picking me up. I was bummed out. I still am bummed out. I'll explain why. What I thought the Royals had a chance to do this weekend. But yeah, you guys are right out of the gate. I think Rick put it well. 52-45 at the break, it's tough to hang your head. So yeah, stick that chest out, pick that head up. Royals fall in Fenway, 5-4, the final score. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Adam Frazier starts the game with a bang. It's a leadoff home run, and the Royals lead 1-0 in the top of the first. Third home run of the season for Adam Frazier. A 414-foot shot into the first row of seats in right.
Yeah, that's right. Adam Frazier right out of the gates. Home run number 3 on the season. Puts a pretty swing on 96 in the middle from Brian Bello. 414 to right field. Put the Royals up 1-0. I always, to be honest with you, I hate when the Royals hit a leadoff home run like that. On the road, first batter of the game, it just always feels like, this is going to date myself, Devin Hester taking the opening touchdown back against the Colts in that Super Bowl. I believe Ted Ginn took back the opening kick in the national championship game against Miami back in the day as well. Back in the day is now almost a quarter of a century ago. But I just feel like it's always a letdown after that. You think, oh boy, we're going to run away with this one. Adam Frazier hitting a leadoff home run? Frazier, by the way, 7 hits in 7 starts as the leadoff hitter this season. Frazier put the boys on top 1-0 in the first. Brady Singer would give up a 2-run rocket home run to Rafi Devers in the bottom of the first. Give up another big blast in the bottom of the second inning, 4-1 Boston after 2. The hustle of MJ Melendez would put the second Royals run on the board in the fourth and cut the deficit to 2. Salvi went 426 to left center field for his 17th home run of the season, and just like that, it's 4-3 Boston. Will Smith would walk the leadoff hitter in the 7th. He would come around to score, of course. 5-3 Boston after 7. Royals get 1 in the 9th. and leave the game-tying run on second base. They fall 5-4, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to our buddy Double J, kind enough to dial us up on a Sunday. Double J, how you doing?
Hey, Vern, not too bad. Glad it's All-Star break. Excited to watch Bobby Witt Jr. hopefully win the home run derby tomorrow night. And, I'm with you. Just bummed that we lost today because, if we would have took 2 out of 3, we would have been tied with them for the third wild card spot. But, hey, still got the whole second half. I'm not down in the dumps. Hopefully.
No, I got you. Double J, let me add on real quick. I appreciate the phone call. Of course. The Royals have 65 games to play. A little more than a third of the season remains. I can't imagine there's any Royals fan angry or frustrated with this team. And if they are, what a miserable sack. Right? But the reason why I'm bummed, and Double J, I think you're with me. For a while now, dating back to mid-April, late April, when it was, starting to become very clear that this rotation was even better than I had thought. And I thought they were going to be the best rotation we had seen since 2016. They were going to offer the type of stability that we haven't seen in 8 years. And then they were even better. They were doing more than giving you a chance to win 75% of the time. They were giving you a chance to win, and they still continue to give you a chance to win like 90% of the time. That's remarkable. So ever since that became clear, that this rotation was elite, that this defense was elite, that this team speed, the base running ability on this team was elite, once it became clear that the Royals have the most powerful weapons that this sport has to offer with that type of rotation, defense, and team speed, once that became clear, fear, baseball fan fear, left my body. There's nobody in the sport that I'm fearful of. If I'm a Royals fan, there's nobody that I'm saying, we can't compete with them. Now, if you're playing 162, okay, it might be tough to hang with Baltimore and New York and the Dodgers and the Phillies. Maybe. They have just so many more resources, both at the big league level and organizationally. But in a 3-game series during the regular season, in a 5-game series, a 7-game series in October, I fear no one. So coming into this series against Boston, to me, whoever won this series was going to go into the All-Star break feeling as if we're the next best team in the American League. Okay, fine. The Yankees and the Orioles and Cleveland, they've been the class of the league all year, right? From the start of the season, it was clear the Yankees, the Orioles, and Cleveland are the three best teams. Record-wise, run differential-wise, it's them. They've been the most consistent teams in the American League all year. But after those top three, there's a bunch of good teams. Royals and Twins, Red Sox, Rays, Mariners, Astros, Rangers. Could any of those teams separate themselves? Now, personally, when I look at this Royals rotation, it's better than every other one of those teams I just mentioned. As far as those second-tier teams, and then the combination of rotation, defense, team speed, I think the Royals are supreme compared to Rays, Red Sox, Twins, Rangers, Astros, and Mariners. I thought if the Royals were able to take 2 of 3 in Boston against Brian Bello, against Cutter Crawford, if they were able to win this series, that they would stake claim to the title as the next best team, the fourth best team in the American League. That's why I'm bummed. Because now I can't say that. I can't say that the Royals are any different than any of those teams I just mentioned. I would like to say, you know they're better than the Rays. You know they're better than Seattle and the Rangers. Come on, you know they're better than the Twins, but I can't say that now. That's why I'm bummed out. I wanted to be able to tote that for the next 4 days going into the second half. I wanted that feather in my cap throughout the month of July. You know, while I watched the Royals beat up on the White Sox and the Cubs in the second half, I wanted that to further cement their title as the fourth best team in the American League. But now I can't do that. That's why I'm disappointed. Let's go to Jimmy in Lenexa. Jimmy, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead. Jimmy, what's happening, buddy? You there? Nah, we lost Jimmy. Jimmy, clean it up, man. I was rolling. I set you up, and then you blew it. Royals, even though, yeah, they blew it today, Royals are still on pace to win 87 games, my friends. 87 wins following, possibly 87 wins following 106 losses. 913-586-7610 is our phone number. That's 913-586-7610. Royals are now 2 games back of Boston in the American League for that final playoff spot. 7 games back of Cleveland in the division. And let me say this real quick. Stay focused on the wild card, or excuse me, stay focused on the division. You're 7 games back of Cleveland, 7 more meetings with Cleveland, 7 meetings in a 10-day stretch beginning at the end of August. Don't get too consumed with the wild card. The wild card needs to be your last resort. There's too many teams, some big market teams, maybe a few desperate teams in there. Stay focused on Cleveland. You have 65 games to play. You're 7 back. That is the furthest thing from insurmountable. The division remains the focus, or at least it should. Boston, Houston, Seattle, Tampa. I don't want to bother with all that. I want to track down this Cleveland ball club and walk away with this American League Central title. Let's go to Dave in Overland Park. Dave, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes,
hey,
sir.
I really look forward to listening to your show all the time and before and after the game. But I just wanted to get your opinion on something because I really had him rode off and wanted him to go to Omaha probably 6-7 weeks ago. But I think one thing that bothered me about the game was when MJ hurt his ankle running across first. And I know he doesn't have the greatest batting average, but to me, he's solid in the field. I mean, you know, I was out of the game a month and a half ago or whatever watching Cole Reagans play, pitch all strikeouts and almost get a shutout. And the base hit they had against him was, I can't think of the guy's name in left field, but it wasn't MJ. If MJ would have been out there, it would have still been a no-hitter. But anyway, I'll listen off the air. I just wanted to get your opinion on the loss of MJ, and hopefully it's not very long. Only maybe he'll come back shortly after the All-Star break. I haven't heard what's going on with it yet, but I appreciate everything you do, and you have a good one.
Yeah, you do the same, Dave. Thank you very much for the kind words. Appreciate it. I think you were talking about Garrett Hampson out in left field for that Cole Reagans outing. Yeah, MJ Melendez, if you missed it, fourth inning, Royals are down 4-1. Salvi hits a line drive to center. Michael Massey rips one into right field, so you have first and second with nobody out. Hunter Renfroe grounds into a fielder's choice, so still first and second now with one out. MJ Melendez, first pitch that he sees, rips it to the right side for what should have been an inning-ending 4-6-3 double play. But MJ busts it down the line. Beats the throw. He's safe. Salvi scores. And the Royals are now only down by 2 runs. But as MJ reaches for the first base bag, I thought it was his hamstring. I thought it was the left hamstring of Melendez, but we find out after the game it's a left ankle sprain for MJ. Now, you know, I'm trying to wait and not be what you're supposed to be in sports radio, and which is, you know, have an opinion, be quick to react. I need to know how serious it is. Either way, it's certainly not what you hope for a guy that, yeah, the batting average is nothing to write home about. But over the past month of baseball, the guy has an OPS north of 850. Go back to the start of June. That OPS is near 790. You know, a league average OPS is about 700. So MJ Melendez, a lot better than a league average hitter for about a month and a half now, almost 2 months. But yeah, listen, if he spends 10 days on the IL and he's back by the end of this upcoming homestand, well, then hopefully it's much ado about nothing. You know, that's the hope. You know, the bottom line of it all, though, is you got to hit when you return, you know? Yeah, he was getting going. It's certainly disappointing. What's going to be the move? Is there a move that is necessary? Does this bring Nelson Velasquez back? Do you like that left-handed bat? Is it Drew Waters that returns in the second half? Does Drew Waters get those ABs? Waters been hitting the ball pretty well down in Omaha of late. Waters homered, doubled, singled, and walked yesterday. Nelson Velasquez had 3 doubles in the game yesterday. So, yeah, disappointing for MJ Melendez, but it's going to be an opportunity likely for a Nelson Velasquez, for a Drew Waters. And hopefully they can fill what MJ was bringing in the 7th spot in this lineup. Dave, appreciate the phone call. Let's go to David in Topeka. David, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
Like you, I'm disappointed in today's loss. However, we are so much better right now than we even came close to being last year.
Hard to be much worse.
Nothing to hang our heads about, and I'm with you. I'd like to say we're the 4th best team in the American League, but thing is, I think we're at least the 2nd best, regardless of the current standings, because of our pitching staff alone.
Yeah.
And I also agree with you. To heck with the Astros, to heck with Minnesota, Boston, whoever. I want Cleveland. I want to take them down. Focus on what's ahead of you, not who's behind you. And I think we're going to be there at the end. As far as our pitching, can't say enough about it. As far as MJ, yeah, the first 6 weeks he struggled. But here, the last 6 weeks, he has been outstanding. And throughout the entire season, he's been incredible defensively. So back to an old saying, what have you done for me lately? He's done everything and beyond that he could do. And today proved it by giving his extra effort that kept that in him alive. As far as Hampton going from first to third, love it. Ain't going to question it. Ain't going to agree with it. So it is what it is. Got to take chances if you're going to be a winner. Finally, people have been beating up on our relievers, our bullpen. Well, they've had their struggles. They've had their ups and downs. They've had some incredible runs. They've had some tough games. Bottom line there is, the whole is greater than the whole is greater than the sum of the parts. In other words, the entire bullpen as a one is solid individually. They're in a struggle, but the other boys are going to pick them up. I'll shut up now. Listen to you. Enjoy your show. And Roar, rock on, always Royals.
Rock on, always Royals. I like it. All right, David. Look at that phone call. Way to go. Phone line open up for you, 913-586-7610. Yeah, there was certainly more good than bad from the Royals' bullpen today. Angel Zerpa getting in and out of an issue in the fourth. A 1-2-3 fifth from Sam Long. Long then found himself in a two-on, two-out jam in the sixth. John Schreiber lent a helping hand. Sam Long, by the way, scoreless in an inning and two-thirds of work today. His 16th scoreless outing of the season. 16 of 19 have been scoreless this year for the lefty Sam Long. Appreciate it, David. And, of course, the bullpen got a lot better over the past 24 hours with the addition of Hunter Harvey. Or at least we believe it's going to be a lot better moving forward. I believe in this pitching department that if they identify something in Harvey, that not only do they want that in their bullpen this year, they want it in their bullpen next year. Yeah, I have plenty of hope and high expectations for Hunter Harvey. But as I say that, like you pointed out, David, what have you done for me lately? That's all that's going to matter. Yeah, he was great with Washington. He's been solid for the Nationals over the past few seasons. If he's not good with the Royals, then it's not a good move, right? I know we could talk about processes and all, you know, you got to, whatever. It's a bottom line business. It's a very short menu at the pro sports restaurant. It's wins and losses, right? Today, the Royals lost 5-4 to the Boston Red Sox. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. Take a quick timeout. We'll take a dive into the text line when we get back.
Welcome back to Vern's Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Breaking ball, fly ball, hit well, deep left center, way back, and that's gone! A home run into the monster seats for Salvador Perez, and the Royals are within one. It's 4-3, 426 feet, Salvador Perez hits his 17th of the year. The All-Star does it again.
An 0-1 slider out over the plate. Salvi crushed it. 110 miles per hour off the bat. Royals would get within one and finish just short. One run eluded them in the ninth inning, and they fall 5-4, dropping the series to the Boston Red Sox. That home run for Salvi, not only his 17th of the season, career home run number 263. Salvi now 54 home runs shy of George Brett's franchise record, and just a dozen homers away from Jorge Posada for the ninth most home runs by a catcher in baseball history. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Salvi, one of two Royals with multi-hit performances today. Salvi and Hunter Renfro each picked up a pair of knocks. Salvi's hitting .355 across his season best 8-game hitting streak that he takes into the All-Star break. Salvi with a base hit in 15 of his last 18. And as far as Hunter Renfro is concerned, today was the 20th game he's played in since returning from that toe injury. In those 20 games, Renfro's hitting .292. All right, let's go to the text line. 913-586-7610. Chris in Topeka is revisiting the Garrett Hampson ninth inning decision to try and push it, going first to third. Chris points out that, Vern, if Hampson's safe at third, the Red Sox are likely playing in, and that gives Nick Lofton an RBI knock, right? The ball sneaks through center field instead of it being a ground out to the second baseman. Yeah, no doubt. Listen, I think we all understand why Garrett Hampson was trying to push it. Yeah. Second and third with one out in the ninth inning. Yeah, I think you're feeling good that Lofton can put the ball in play. Yeah, listen, again, I had no issue with Garrett Hampson. I'm of the belief if you're not getting thrown out on occasion, you're not being aggressive enough? Now, maybe that's not every team. You know, maybe I wouldn't say that if you're the Yankees or the Orioles. You know, if you have mashers up and down your lineup, maybe I wouldn't feel that way, but the Royals don't. The Royals have three solid, consistent bats. Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. Now, Renfro's been very good for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Now, Freddie Fermin's sensational. I got nothing but love for Freddie Fermin, who threw out his 12th would-be thief on the base paths. 12th caught stealing of the season today for Freddie. Freddie 1-for-3 as well. Freddie's hitting .313 since the start of May. Freddie has an OPS north of 800 since the start of May. So you know what? We can put Freddie in that group with Bobby, with Vinny, with Salvi. But Freddie's not an everyday guy like Bobby, like Vinny, like Salvi. You know, this offense is middle of the road. And I think that's good enough, so long as the rotation remains elite and the defense and the team speed. Those are the things that have led you to a majority of your 52 wins. Your defense, your team speed, and your starting pitching. And today, the starting pitching obviously was unable to do that. The defense was good. Kyle Isbell, in the first inning, great play in center. Massey and Bobby combined for an amazing 4-6-3 inning-ending double play there in the second. Michael Garcia made a spectacular run-saving play in the seventh inning, playing third base. So the defense did its part. The base running tried to do its part. But credit to the Boston defense, they made a play that I think most defenses, most center fielders will not make moving forward. So again, Garrett, the green light stays on. Let's go back to the text line. 913-586-7610. Raj in the Ozark says that the Houston Astros really have me worried the way they're playing for a wild card spot. Yeah, Houston, I believe, is just a game back of the Royals right now for that game and a half back. All right. So Houston lost to Texas. So the Royals are two back of Boston. Houston is 3.5 games back of Boston. I'll be honest with you, Raj. I'm not worried about Houston. If I was a Mariners fan, I would be worried about Houston. I think Seattle's going to join the wild card race sooner rather than later. Astros are a game and a half back of the Mariners right now in the AL West. And for as much as I respect the Mariners' rotation, I don't think they have the defense and the team speed. I don't think they have the bullpen or the offense to match the Royals. Now, I'm with you. If the Mariners were running away with the West, and it was clear that the Astros' only way into the postseason was going to be the wild card, Raj, I'm with you. Yeah, they're getting healthier. They know how to, maybe not flip a switch, but they know how to lock in. I think the Astros are going to win that division. 913-586-7610. Also here, Scott in Phoenix. Yeah, Scott, I'm with you, man. I'm with Scott. Says I'm still not convinced that the Guardians are a 600 team, so I'm still focused on the division as well. Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's what, 21 games above 500 as they approach the All-Star break. I think they're good. You know, they elite bullpen, top 10 offense. See what kind of move they make at the deadline. I'm interested to see if they bring in a starting pitcher. I know they got Gavin Williams back off the IL. But let's see how aggressive that front office is. They're not normally aggressive as far as adding. If Cleveland brings in a starter, okay, maybe we start turning our attention to the wild card. If they bring in a starter, if the Royals don't win that seven-game stretch coming up against Cleveland beginning in about a month from now, okay, maybe then we turn our attention to the wild card. But no sooner. No sooner until those 7 games in 10 days come to its conclusion. Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, it may be a blessing that they won't be getting the national media hype over the All-Star break. Maybe it's a blessing that they don't have that playoff spot, because they'll know they deserve to be in the playoffs. They'll know they deserve to be under the bright lights of the All-Star game, and they'll have a chip on their shoulder. And it might make a marginal difference, signed Katie in North Carolina. Yeah. See, I don't think that they're going to be overlooked. I still think the Royals are going to get a lot of love over the course of the next 48 hours, 72 hours. Because you're going to have likely two pitchers, two hitters, all making an appearance at different times in the game. Bobby during the home run derby. If he wins the home run derby, that's going to be a talk. That's going to be a conversation piece all day Tuesday going into the game. No, I think the Royals are still going to get a lot of love over the course of the next 3 days down in Arlington. And I would have liked for them to have that added boost of confidence that comes with being in possession of a postseason spot. That's also why I'm so thankful that this team made the move that they did last night. Well, if they were going to make it, they had to make it last night prior to the draft, obviously. But I'm just so very happy that this clubhouse that has so much postseason inexperience inside of it, I'm glad that this clubhouse received a message from its owner, from its front office, that we believe in you. We believe in you next year, obviously, but we believe in you right now. We'll part with one of our top prospects. We'll part with a draft pick because we believe in you. You've earned this type of mid-season reinforcement. Because don't get it twisted. Guys like Bobby and Michael and Kyle Isbell and Freddie Fermin, the guys that haven't been through a postseason run before, shoot, guys that haven't been through a playoff chase before, they know what's happened with the bullpen. They know that this team is led by its rotation, by its defense, by its team speed, that often the offense and the bullpen are the squeaky wheels. They know that. So to see that message come through in the form of, you know, the monster that is the hard-throwing righty Hunter Harvey, to have that message sent throughout the clubhouse is certainly being received. Our deficiencies will be addressed. We're not going to leave you out there to dry, hang you out to dry, let you out there undermanned or, you know, not properly prepared for the kind of fight you're about to be in. I appreciate you listening, Katie. But I think they are going to get some love at the All-Star break. I do think they got a jolt of confidence by that move yesterday from this front office. I was just hoping for the cherry on top, to grab that final wild card spot and to, you know, stake your claim as not only the fourth best team in the American League, but also I think the Royals organization would have been able to make the case that this has been, at the All-Star break, the greatest turnaround in baseball history. Now, not for the season, of course. Right? We still have 65 games to go. But coming off a 106-loss season, to possibly be in possession of a playoff spot going into the All-Star break just 6 months later? Yeah, that's historic. And now they can't say that. They can still say a lot. They should still be very proud. But I wanted it all. I wanted it all. Terry from Green Bay writes in, Vern, now that we have Hunter Harvey in the bullpen, we can probably cut loose Chris Stratton and Will Smith. Yeah, I mean, you got rid of Nick Anderson, so that was the move. But certainly, yeah, I mean, Will Smith's contract's done after this season. That's something that you could pay him to go away if and when a better option presents itself. No, Will Smith also carries a lot of weight inside that clubhouse. Let's not forget that. Chris Stratton right there with him as well. Chris Stratton's kind of like the dad inside that clubhouse. Not only because he has children, but also advice. He's a good conversation. I'm not saying that keeps you on the team if you stink. But until a better option presents itself, yeah, I think that's helping their stay in Kansas City is the kind of teammates that they are, the kind of leaders that they are. More love for the Royals front office on the Hunter Harvey acquisition coming from Dan and KCK, coming from the Rally Mantis, who offers best wishes to Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby tomorrow. Bobby, again at the All-Star break, hits number one in Major League Baseball as far as base hits. 125 knocks for Bobby, leads the sport, three better than Luis Arraez. I told you his 323 batting average is good for third best in the sport. Bobby's 75 runs scored, tied with Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani for the second most in baseball, second only to Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. Hey, quick shout out to Michael Massey. I have not done a good job of acknowledging this. He was in there again today at second base. He's been in there quite a bit. Now, I know they've had a lot of off days, sure. And we haven't necessarily seen an extended stretch of consistent play at the second base position for Michael Massey, but he's done a lot more than I thought he was going to do going into the All-Star break. Man, that... And if I'm going to end this show on a high, that's it right there. Second base in each of his last six games. Keep in mind, he was the DH for the first six games off the IL, so that's a great sign. Great sign for Massey, who, by the way, when he's at second base, has an OPS north of 800. Now, you need him there at second base. That's a valuable bat at second base. All right, I'll talk to you guys coming up on Friday, live from Kauffman Stadium. I appreciate you listening. Q, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's Postgame Show.
Blast down the right field line.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Through center field instead of it being a ground out to the second baseman. Yeah, no doubt. Listen, I think we all understand why Garrett Hampson was trying to push it. Yeah. Second and third with one out in the ninth inning. Yeah, I think you're feeling good that Lofton can put the ball in play. Yeah, listen, again, I had no issue with Garrett Hampson. I'm of the belief if you're not getting thrown out on occasion, you're not being aggressive enough. Now, maybe that's not every team. You know, maybe I wouldn't say that if you're the Yankees or the Orioles. You know, if you have mashers up and down your lineup, maybe I wouldn't feel that way, but the Royals don't. The Royals have three solid, consistent bats. Bobby, Vinny, and Salvi. Now, Renfro's been very good for about a month and a half, 2 months now. Now, Freddie Fermin's sensational. I got nothing but love for Freddie Fermin, who threw out his 12th would-be thief on the base paths. 12th caught stealing of the season today for Freddie. Freddie 1-for-3 as well. Freddie's hitting .313 since the start of May. Freddie has an OPS north of 800 since the start of May. So you know what? We can put Freddie in that group with Bobby, with Vinny, with Salvi. But Freddie's not an everyday guy like Bobby, like Vinny, like Salvi. You know, this offense is middle of the road. And I think that's good enough, so long as the rotation remains elite and the defense and the team speed. Those are the things that have led you to a majority of your 52 wins. Your defense, your team speed, and your starting pitching. And today, the starting pitching obviously was unable to do that. The defense was good. Kyle Isbell, in the first inning, great play in center. Massey and Bobby combined for an amazing 4-6-3 inning-ending double play there in the second. Michael Garcia made a spectacular run-saving play in the seventh inning, playing third base. So the defense did its part. The base running tried to do its part. But credit to the Boston defense, they made a play that I think most defenses, most center fielders will not make moving forward. So again, Garrett, the green light stays on. Let's go back to the text line, 913-586-7610. Raj in the Ozarks says that the Houston Astros really have me worried the way they're playing for a wild card spot. Yeah, Houston, I believe, is just a game back of the Royals right now for that game and a half back. All right. So Houston lost to Texas. So the Royals are two back of Boston. Houston is 3.5 games back of Boston. I'll be honest with you, Raj. I'm not worried about Houston. If I was a Mariners fan, I would be worried about Houston. I think Seattle's going to join the wild card race sooner rather than later. Astros are a game and a half back of the Mariners right now in the AL West. And for as much as I respect the Mariners' rotation, I don't think they have the defense and the team speed. I don't think they have the bullpen or the offense to match the Royals. Now, I'm with you. If the Mariners were running away with the West and it was clear that the Astros' only way into the postseason was going to be the wild card, Raj, I'm with you. Yeah, they're getting healthier. They know how to, maybe not flip a switch, but they know how to lock in. I think the Astros are going to win that division. 913-586-7610. Also here, Scott in Phoenix. Scott, I'm with you, man. I'm with. Scott says, I'm still not convinced that the Guardians are a 600 team, so I'm still focused on the division as well. Yeah. I mean, Cleveland's, what, 21 games above 500 as they approach the All-Star break? I think they're good. You know, they elite bullpen, top 10 offense. See what kind of move they make at the deadline. I'm interested to see if they bring in a starting pitcher. I know they got Gavin Williams back off the IL. But let's see how aggressive that front office is. They're not normally aggressive as far as adding. If Cleveland brings in a starter, okay, maybe we start turning our attention to the wild card. If they bring in a starter, if the Royals don't win that seven-game stretch coming up against Cleveland beginning in about a month from now? Okay, maybe then we turn our attention to the wild card, but no sooner. No sooner until those 7 games in 10 days come to its conclusion. Katie in North Carolina writes in, Vern, it may be a blessing that they won't be getting the national media hype over the All-Star break. Maybe it's a blessing that they don't have that playoff spot. Because they'll know they deserve to be in the playoffs. They'll know they deserve to be under the bright lights of the All-Star game, and they'll have a chip on their shoulder. And it might make a marginal difference, signed Katie in North Carolina. Yeah. I don't think that they're going to be overlooked. I still think the Royals are going to get a lot of love over the course of the next 48 hours, 72 hours. Because you're going to have likely two pitchers, two hitters, all making an appearance at different times in the game. Bobby during the home run derby. If he wins the home run derby, that's going to be a talk. That's going to be a conversation piece all day Tuesday going into the game. No, I think the Royals are still going to get a lot of love over the course of the next 3 days down in Arlington. And I would have liked for them to have that added boost of confidence that comes with being in possession of a postseason spot. That's also why I'm so thankful that this team made the move that they did last night. Well, if they were going to make it, they had to make it last night prior to the draft, obviously. But I'm just so very happy that this clubhouse that has so much postseason inexperience inside of it, I'm glad that this clubhouse received a message from its owner, from its front office, that we believe in you. We believe in you next year, obviously, but we believe in you right now. We'll part with one of our top prospects. We'll part with a draft pick because we believe in you. You've earned this type of mid-season reinforcement. Because don't get it twisted. Guys like Bobby and Michael and Kyle Isbell and Freddie Fermin, the guys that haven't been through a postseason run before, guys that haven't been through a playoff chase before, they know what's happened with the bullpen. They know that this team is led by its rotation, by its defense, by its team speed, that often the offense and the bullpen are the squeaky wheels. They know that. So to see that message come through in the form of, you know, the monster that is the hard-throwing righty Hunter Harvey, to have that message sent throughout the clubhouse is certainly being received. Our deficiencies will be addressed. We're not going to leave you out there to dry, hang you out to dry, let you out there undermanned or, you know, not properly prepared for the kind of fight you're about to be in. I appreciate you listening, Katie. But I think they are going to get some love at the All-Star break. I do think they got a jolt of confidence by that move yesterday from this front office. I was just hoping for the cherry on top. To grab that final wild card spot and to, you know, stake your claim as not only the fourth best team in the American League, but also I think the Royals organization would have been able to make the case that this has been, at the All-Star break, the greatest turnaround in baseball history. Now, not for the season, of course. Right? We still have 65 games to go. But coming off a 106-loss season, to possibly be in possession of a playoff spot going into the All-Star break just 6 months later? Yeah, that's historic. And now they can't say that. They can still say a lot. They should still be very proud. But I wanted it all. I wanted it all. Terry from Green Bay writes in, Vern, now that we have Hunter Harvey in the bullpen, we can probably cut loose Chris Stratton and Will Smith. Yeah, I mean, you got rid of Nick Anderson. So that was the move. But certainly, yeah, I mean, Will Smith's contract's done after this season. That's something that you could pay him to go away if and when a better option presents itself. You know, Will Smith also carries a lot of weight inside that clubhouse. Let's not forget that. Chris Stratton right there with him as well. Chris Stratton's kind of like the dad inside that clubhouse. Not only because he has children, but also advice. He's a good conversation. I'm not saying that keeps you on the team if you stink. But until a better option presents itself, yeah, I think that's helping their stay in Kansas City is the kind of teammates that they are, the kind of leaders that they are. More love for the Royals front office on the Hunter Harvey acquisition coming from Dan and KCK, coming from the Rally Mantis, who offers best wishes to Bobby Witt Jr. in the Home Run Derby tomorrow. Bobby, again at the All-Star break, hits number one in Major League Baseball as far as base hits. 125 knocks for Bobby, leads the sport, three better than Luis Arraez. I told you his 323 batting average is good for third best in the sport. Bobby's 75 runs scored, tied with Juan Soto and Shohei Ohtani for the second most in baseball, second only to Gunnar Henderson of the Orioles. Hey, quick shout out to Michael Massey. I have not done a good job of acknowledging this. He was in there again today at second base. He's been in there quite a bit. Now, I know they've had a lot of off days, sure. And we haven't necessarily seen an extended stretch of consistent play at the second base position for Michael Massey, but he's done a lot more than I thought he was going to do going into the All-Star break. Man, that... And if I'm going to end this show on a high, that's it right there. Second base in each of his last six games. Keep in mind, he was the DH for the first six games off the IL, so that's a great sign. Great sign for Massey, who, by the way, when he's at second base, has an OPS north of 800. Now, you need him there at second base. That's a valuable bat at second base. All right, I'll talk to you guys coming up on Friday, live from Kauffman Stadium. I appreciate you listening. Q, thank you very much for the help back at the studio. Kansas City, enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's postgame show.
Flash down the right field line.
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.